What good news! He is Lord. Look at each other this morning. Say, He is risen. He is risen. What a great Lord. What a great Savior. Look at each other one more time and say, He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive. We've been through Passion Week. We've traced the steps of Jesus as He rides into Jerusalem on a donkey to shouts and cheers of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we have made the passionate, heartbroken observation on his road of pain and beating and torture and crucifixion and death. And then we see the silence and the quiet of Jesus' body being placed in a tomb. And Roman guards are placed on the outside of the tomb because the Jews were fearful that the disciples would come and steal his body away. They want him to remain in that tomb. You know, just as kind of an aside, sometimes you think it's easier, don't you, if Jesus doesn't really mess too much with your life, just leave him in that tomb. A little easier if God doesn't get involved. Actually, life's a lot easier and better. It's not always easy, but it's better when Jesus gets involved. He's alive. Jesus had told them what would happen. Jesus told them what was coming. But you know, it's one thing to hear about it, it's another thing to grasp it and understand it. And the disciples were undoubtedly, when Jesus was in the tomb, they were fearful for their own lives. Remember, Peter denied the Lord how many times? Three times. Why? Because he was being accosted with the reality of, you're one of them too. You followed Jesus. Oh, no. No, not me. Fear. Fear grips souls. But today, a new day dawns. Today, we even have some sunshine in Port Ludlow. After last night's winds and rains, I told the people who were here this morning for the sunrise service, it's warmer than this in Jerusalem, so in honor of them, we'll come inside this morning. So it's a great day, though. It's a brand new day. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of rejoicing because he's alive. Come on, let me hear you say it. Get a little shouty this morning. He's alive. Whoa, that's louder than we usually are in church. Is that legal? Yeah, it is here. He's alive. Come on, let me hear you shout it. Jump me off the platform here. He's alive. Good, you're good. He's alive. And that's the promise. That's the truth. That's the reality. No matter what your difficulty is this morning, no matter what the problem, the pain, Jesus is alive. He knows you. The number of hairs on your head. In some cases, the lack thereof. He knows you. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you brought your Bibles this morning. I read this morning from the sunrise service from Mark, and now we're going to use the scriptures from Luke. Luke chapter 24, and first I'll read verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10 of Luke 24. What a great celebration. I get excited about Easter. Do you? I get excited every day about Easter. Do you? Amen. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them, verse 1, came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. One of the comments I made this morning that I think is interesting and we should understand, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so people could get in and figure out that he was not there. He had risen. He was alive. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Say the next phrase with me. Verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalena, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. Folks, these are broken-hearted people who are in love with Jesus. Their hearts were broken. They brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus with so the decay and the stench would not deteriorate so quickly and become so pronounced. They didn't have a plot to steal the body of Jesus. They hadn't figured out he would rise again yet, though he had said it. They just couldn't see. They brought probably 80 to 100 pounds worth of spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to honor their Lord. Joseph, you recall from the scriptures, had already begged for the body of Jesus. They took his body down from the cross and Joseph placed it in a tomb. But you know what's really beautiful? Worshippers' hearts say, it's not enough, let's worship some more. It's not enough, let's sing some more. It's not enough. The spices Joseph did for this body are not enough yet. Let's bring our own spices to the Lord. Some thoughts as we go through. You know, first thing in the morning, that's a good time to seek the Lord, isn't it? How many of you get up real early? I did this the first service. How many get up like 5:30 or so? Oh, man, I just admire y'all. Yeah, this morning. Okay, I qualify. Once a year. Here we go. Most importantly, take time with Jesus. But they did it first thing in the morning to go to the tomb. First thing to go see him. Time in the Word. Time in prayer. Time to seek your risen Lord. A wonderful start on the day as we take day by day with the Lord. Then they got there and the stone was rolled away already. The stone was guarded. There was usually a strap placed over the stone. And you could tell easily, readily, if it had been disturbed. And the stone was rolled away. There was a track for this huge rock and a track that it could go on. And it had been rolled away. Who did it? Who did that? An angel of the Lord? One gospel says an earthquake. One way or another, God got Jesus out of that tomb, don't you know? Imagine the hearts of the worshipers, though, as they approached. Someone has disturbed my Lord. The tomb is disturbed. Then they entered in and they didn't find the body of the Lord. Where is he? Where'd you take him? Who's done something with our Lord? You know, all they knew is he had been badly tortured, bruised, and beaten. What are they doing with the body of Jesus now? Imagine the passion, the emotion, the heart rhythm racing. Then there were angels on the scene. The scripture literally says two men in shining garments. The Greek word is astrapo. Astrapo. And it literally means to flash as lightning. Imagine some of you children of the late 60s, early 60s, strobe lights and music scenes and the brightest lights you've seen. Some of you are looking at me like, I never saw those. I did. I saw them. That's why I'm wearing glasses now. No, I'm kidding. But the strobe lights, the bright flashing light, these angels were glistering and bright and shining and the light was penetrating and powerful, shining like lightning. God was on the scene, and he had something to say to these worshipers. Folks, as we get together in worship, we should wait on the Lord long enough to hear him say something. Prophetic word, visions. I believe God will speak to his people who have come to worship him. He wants to speak to listening worshipers. When worship occurs, we become more sensitive to his presence. We can hear his voice. Then what's the message? The message that they say, he's alive. He's alive. He's living. He's not dead. Why do you seek the dead or the living among the dead? He's no longer here. Just as he said to you, he's alive. Fear steals belief. Will you be honest enough with me in this room to say, upon occasion, you've felt fear in your life? Oh, good. I got some amens on that one. Yeah. It's easy. It's easy to feel fear. Do you know that at that moment, when you yield and surrender to a spirit of fear, it chokes out belief. God can do and will do for you beyond what your vision can see, beyond what your eyes can see, God will do. And we need to not let fear choke out belief. Verses 11 and 12. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter, I love this, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. They were like idle tales, just trivial pursuit. This is not true stuff. I saw the brutal torture with my own eyes. I saw him hanging on the cross with my own eyes. I saw it. Don't try to tell me it didn't happen. We're not saying it didn't happen. He just overcame it. He just rose again. I saw him die. Yes, you did. But God raised him from the dead. Good news. But we are limited by what we see and what we hear sometimes. But the Bible says all things are possible with God. Church, he's alive. He's alive. Look at each other and say, he's alive. That means you can't always trust what your eyeballs see. Sometimes your heart needs to believe what he says beyond what you can see. But you know, I got to tell you, I love verse 12. I love verse 12. You know why I love verse 12? Because it says, but Peter. Peter had trouble sometimes with faith. Peter's good for us, isn't he? You know, Peter's good for us. Peter had trouble. Peter made great declarations and he failed, and sometimes we do the same thing. Don't you love Peter? Peter's the only one who got out of the boat, for heaven's sakes. Sees Jesus walking on the water. The rest of the disciples are sitting in the boat going, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. Jesus says, it's not a ghost, it's me. And Peter, I just love it. Peter says, okay, if that's really you, let me come out to you. Jesus, can you imagine Jesus? I can imagine Jesus had a sense of humor. He probably started to chuckle. He says, okay, Pete, it's me. You want to do it? Come on out. I love it. I just love it. Peter's the only guy who got out of the boat. And he walked on water. There are only two in the scripture that walked on water, Jesus and Peter. Yeah, we might find that his faith failed. He began to sink. Jesus had to reach out and pick him up, but Peter still got out of that boat. The news came that Jesus was alive. And Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Yeah, he may have denied his Lord, but he had to go see what happened to his Jesus. Now, I want to ask you really honestly. You don't have to answer me. Have you ever failed the Lord in your own life, and you know it, and you're full of shame over the sin that you've done, and yet your heart still beats passionately in love with this Lord? Come on, folks, that's real life. Real life, sometimes we mess up. At Grace Christian Center, we have grace in the name because we believe in the grace of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean it's sloppy. That doesn't mean we go out and do whatever we want. But sometimes we all need the grace of God, like every day, every moment of every day. But we do. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you mess up, but your heart is still in love with this Lord. If you sin, if you confess and repent of that sin, what does the Bible say? He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. I love it. The scripture says, go tell my disciples and Peter. You know, you got, I'm sorry, you're a little wet there in the front row. And Peter. Yeah, I know, this is about the highestfalutin Easter message you've ever seen, right? And Peter. Okay. But Peter. And Peter, but Peter. Two great messages, right? But Peter ran to the tomb. What a powerful thing. I know I messed up, but I've got to know what they did with my Lord. And it's cool, just like you and I would do, isn't it? He walks away scratching his head going, I wonder what's up. Can you imagine him standing there going, I wonder what's next? I blew it before. I don't want to blow it again. I don't have any idea what's next. The mystery is unfolding. But Peter runs to the tomb. He ran and he loved his Lord. Don't let fear keep you from belief. Run to the tomb. See your Jesus. Don't let fear steal away the reality that God can do all things. Next point, Jesus is in the house. You know, the Jesus is in the house. That JC's here. You know, the kids will sing that. Anybody ever been a kid? You ever hear it? No, JC is in the house. He keeps showing up. You can't keep a good man down. JC's in the house. Two men on the road to Emmaus. And we find in verses 13 through 35, Jesus comes right up alongside of them and walks with them. And they have such sorrow of heart, they don't even know it's him. And he says, hey guys, why are you so sad? A little more modern translation. Why are you so sad? And what do they say? They say, you know, really, you can hear the irony in it all. If you read the scriptures, they turn to him, and it's like they're looking at him going, are you the only guy here who hasn't heard what happened in these last few days? What's wrong with you, stranger? And you can imagine Jesus sitting there going, yeah, I heard something about this. I heard something about this. Somebody told me something about it. I read this in a book. But he begins to open to them the scriptures. And then, so much so, your time in the Word of God, your time in the Bible is so precious, so important, because Jesus will begin to open the scriptures to your heart and to your soul. He'll begin to speak to you. And then it comes time for them. They get to the city where they're going, and Jesus acts like he's going to walk out. You remember what the Bible says? And they constrain him. They loved their time with him so much. They were getting so much life out of the Word. They said, no, don't go. Stay with us. Speak to us some more. So he does. And he sits down, and he breaks bread with them. Remember? He breaks bread with them, and what happens? Their eyes open, and then he disappears. Some people believe Jesus will return during a communion service. You break bread. Listen, every communion is more than religious tradition. It's the Eucharist, the celebration where you're communing with Jesus. You know, I got to tell you, were you anything like me? When I was a kid, before I got saved, before I gave my life to Jesus, church was a bore. I didn't like church very well. My mom was a preacher's kid. I can guarantee you I went to church. I couldn't get out of going to church, but it didn't mean anything to me until I gave my life to Jesus. Then all of a sudden, communion meant something. These songs meant something. All of a sudden, I had a relationship with the one I was talking and singing about and communing with. He's alive! Turn to each other and say, he's alive! Two on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus tells him he had to suffer first. In Luke 24, 31, 30 and 31, talk about how their eyes were open and then he vanished. Jesus opens your eyes. Then we've got the two who run to share with the others, verses 33 through 35. They rose up that very hour. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. How many times have you said that in church? The Lord is risen. And the response of the people is,
the Lord is risen indeed.
Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon and Peter. But Peter, one of the most precious appearances of Jesus after he rose from the dead is to this broken-hearted disciple who had failed him. And God says, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you know his grace is sufficient this morning for you? They gathered together. They shared what Jesus was doing in their lives and take a look at the scripture. That's just like, grace gathering. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, you're all welcome. Come and share with us. We talk about what Jesus is doing and what he's spoken to you from the Word. It's good to get together with one another and talk about what Jesus is saying and doing. And then Jesus comes to them. Turn to verse 36, please. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and he said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they'd seen a spirit. Do you ever feel like this is you? Over and over again, the Lord has to deal with us and speak to us, but we go, but I don't know, I'm not sure that's really right. Jesus comes and he shows himself to them, and they're not sure it's really him, like us. And he said, why are you troubled? Why did doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands, my feet, it's I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, they said, have you any food here? And then he eats. He proves to them He's alive. He proves it. Then verse 44. These words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, they all must be fulfilled. Verse 45. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said, it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. They were terrified and frightened. Literally, the Greek means they were shaking and they were trembling. He says, behold me. Literally, the Greek means know me, perceive me, look for me. Remember what the Bible says? If you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. He tells them, handle me. Verify by personal contact that it's really me. I dare you this morning. If you don't know the Lord, give your life to Jesus and you will know that he's real. Search for me, handle me, and see, behold me, experience me. You know, the one with an argument is always at a loss to the person who has a personal experience with Jesus. You can argue with me all day long. You'll never take Jesus out of my heart. You say amen, church? Amen. Experience him. I think it's fascinating, and I'll come to a close real soon, because I know you got hams cooking in the oven. Isn't it interesting? I wonder how ham became the food of choice on Easter. Anyway, God could have raised Jesus from the dead without any scars. You know that, don't you? But the scars helped to identify him. Let's be real, congregation. Let's be real. You had some painful events in your life, some difficulties. Ever have any scars in your life? Your scars don't make you what you are. But if you allow Jesus to heal you in the circumstances that created those scars, it helps make you a better man or woman of God. Jesus was known partially by the scars that remained. Those who passed through Baca, it says in the Psalms, a valley of weeping, leaving a well. You go through and shed your tears. The Lord not only puts them in a bottle, the Bible says, but he creates a well that others who follow you in that time of suffering have something to drink from your life and experience to help them through their desert place. The scars aren't always to be cursed. If we'll allow God to meet us in the place of them, it'll help us to know him even better. And others will know him through those scars that we embrace. Experience me. Know me intimately. Come receive forgiveness from these arms that were stretched out on a cross and said, forgive them, Father. And folks, it's a new day. Let's go to Luke 24, 49 through 53. It is a new day. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed upon with power from on high. Verse 50. So he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them, carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with, what is it? Great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. The promise of the Father comes upon them, endues them with their baptism, or with the baptism of the Spirit, and power to walk with him, and power to be his witnesses. He breathes upon them. He blows the wind of the Holy Spirit upon them, and it's all proof of his power, of his resurrection life. He splits a grave. Sins won't hold him down. A tomb can't hold him down. Death can't hold him back. Nothing can hold back the Son of the living God who rose again from the dead for you and for me. Church, say it with me. He's alive. One more time. He's alive. Jesus, our risen Savior, Jesus, our risen Lord, the one we celebrate every day. There's an old chorus a long, long time ago we used to sing, and it goes, anybody remember? Thou hast turned the morning into dancing for me. Morning, not morning like this, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, death clothes. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, and girded me with gladness. Till the end my glory will sing praise unto thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen! Sounds like a football cheering fight song, doesn't it? Oh, he's not dead. This sounds like that this morning. Oh, he's not dead. But he's a boy, he rose again and triumphed over death and hell. And it feels like we should get our megaphones out and cheer. And that's what it is at Easter. We're cheering. There's hope. There's life. There's resurrection. There's power. If there's illness in your body this morning, Jesus Christ can minister to you. If there's sin that's got you down, if there's condemnation and shame that's got you held back, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he ever lives to pray for you and make intercession to the Father. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, you're ranting and raving up there. Yeah, you know why? Because, say it with me, he's alive. Stand with me, will you? He's alive. Aren't you glad he is? Gee, what kind of church did we go to this morning? One that celebrates the fact he's alive. Let's go back to he's not dead, but he's alive. And Pat, if you'll come put that up. Church, we've got every reason to celebrate. This would be a fantastic day for you. We thank you for coming from California and from Sandpoint and Port Ludlow and Port wherever you came from. From Tall Shores Drive. I came all the way from Olympus Boulevard, you know, and Maple Street. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones and bigger ones, to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He proved it, didn't he? If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus. You might be standing there saying, I'm not sure I want to if I have to be that loud. That's not the point. The point is he loves you. He knows you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you as you surrender your life to Jesus. If you have something in your life that you know you need forgiven, you know you need strength, help. You know you need prayer for healing. Come on up. There'll be teams of people here to pray with you, to support you. But this is a day of rejoicing. It should be a good day in the house of the Lord when we go and rejoice in his resurrection, shouldn't we? Look at each other and say, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Father, we thank you for your great good news that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless everyone as they go with friends and family into a day of joy, rejoicing, and celebration because you are alive.